Listen, wife's going out tonight. I'm going to have the guys over. We're going to watch the fish on the big screen. I'm going to grill up some brats. I got a micro brew chilling in my wet bar, and I was going to warm up some ziti. Why don't you come by if you got some triple fried pizza dough or some kind of frozen meatballs or whatever it is. You can warm it up in my microwave, or you can warm it up back at home. Bring it over pipe and hop, and if you want to bring over a vegetable medley, a crudite, figure out how much lunch meat you can spare. Maybe bring over 1.5, 2 pounds of Black Forest ham, maybe a Dijon mustard spread, any kind of dessert, maybe a German chocolate cake or something like that. I tell you what would make you a big hit with the dudes is get some key lime pie, a la mode. I'm talking about ice cream on the side.
Right.
And you have got to have a bite of my homemade ziti. I'm just going to warm her up. She's been in the freeze.
Thanks for the invite. But
you know, I love her, those hot mozzarella sticks. Cube them up, put them in some marinara sauce. You have them on standby. Of course, you can't go wrong with some sour cream and onion so long as you bring ridged chips.
Yeah.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, fun, fun.
Stop! Stop telling this! I'm gonna puke.
So look, why don't you download my blog? It's free. Of course we do appreciate donations.
Anybody know what this is? Huh? All of this is the digestive system. And now we're going to have a couple of guys who's going to give us a presentation about what happens when the digestive system isn't working properly.
All right, here we go, everybody. It is time for a Friday morning edition of TBTL.
That's a tuna, bro!
Show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name is Luke Burbank.
Oh, yeah!
I am your host coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. It's a wet, rainy day here looking out over Lake Whatcom and in the background, Squalicum Mountain. I had a real humiliating moment with the animals this morning.
I'll say, what's up, dog?
Both the pod dog and the bay kitty.
There is something about the soul of a cat.
Told you that the dog is not a fan of being in the broadcast center now that we do the show in the morning. I don't know why, but I've been trying to just like not. I'm on a whole Buddhism kick. I've talked about that lately. I'm kind of trying to just release desire. I decided I'm just going to not like force the dog to come hang out in here with me while I do the show. Just let her live her life. She has hopes and dreams. She's not just a character in the movie of my life. And but then today I doubled back on that theory, and I went into the TV room where the dog and the cat are just chilling on the couch together. It's the part of the couch they're allowed to be on, so this wasn't a situation. They're just sitting there, and I said, guys, let's go, let's do this podcast time. And they just looked at me and they just went right back to sleep. So
let the fun begin.
If that's any indication of the entertainment value of this show, it's not a great one. I'll tell you that. But we, one way or the other, we have arrived at episode 28 in a collector series. And we have so much to talk about. We actually do have so much to talk about today. In fact, like too many stories. One thing I really want to get to. Yesterday, my good friend Andrew Walsh, he had found some great hashtag content in Reader's Digest. It was basically facts that are true that you would have never imagined they are true. And we learned about those yesterday. And today we're going to learn about some things that you think are true that are not true. I guess you could call them fake facts.
Can you verify? Can you give me some 411?
So we're going to hear about that. Also, you probably have heard about the world's most famous egg on Instagram. It is, I guess, the most liked photo on Instagram or thing on Instagram. Well, I guess it's been developing. I mean, developing. Whoever owns this account has been putting up additional photos of a crack slowly forming in the egg. And now, whatever product, good, service, social cause emerges from the egg. In other words, if someone is willing to pay for the right to be the thing that emerges from this photo of an egg, it could be worth $10 million.
One hundo a day, 500 a week. That's rich.
That's it.
Opa. So we'll talk about that too. And we will do some music for your weekend because it's Friday. And we are going to get down on Friday with this guy. I think of him as the Ridged Chips of Cobros. In fact, he is the longest running co-host of this program, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their splendor. A lot of times on the show, he'll talk about how he eats too much. And I have said that that's probably a little bit more in his head. I will tell you, speaking of eggs, though, he has been eating way too many eggs.
My boss says he can eat 50 eggs. He can eat 50 eggs.
I do not think eating 50 eggs is a good pre-show ritual. It's his system. It seems to work for him. So whatever. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood, Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my
friend. Good morning. I have a new hashtag squad goal for myself.
Okay.
Which is more of a, okay. I don't know if that's a squad goal or just more of a me goal, but I want to be a big hit with the dudes. As Tim Heidecker said in the intro tape, I've never been a big hit with the dudes, it occurred to me in listening to that, and I would love to be a big hit with the dudes.
I decided upon hearing that intro tape that believe it or not, I mean, okay, obviously the genius of Tim Heidecker is without question, cannot be questioned. But Eric Wareheim's for some reason, it killed me. It just was so funny to me. Him trying to get a word in edgewise.
I
don't know why that just was slaying me during the intro.
I know. No, it's a great it's a great dynamic they have. Hey, speaking of 50 eggs, I got a bunch of stuff. I'm coming out hot today. If you did have to eat 50 eggs, I've got them all juiced up. I'm drinking coffee from an oversized mug that says "Like a Boss." So maybe that's why I'm pumped up. If you did have to eat 50 eggs, how would you prefer them to be prepared? I believe in Cool Hand Luke, those were hard-boiled eggs, which seems like a tough way to go. What would you? How would you do it? Scrambled?
Well, somebody on Deadspin, I believe, tried to eat 50 scrambled eggs and tapped out. I saw some video of this. They tapped out pretty fast.
Yeah.
That whole competitive eating thing is a bizarre – it's such a bizarre thing because I can eat in one sitting or at least in a short amount of time, I can eat a lot of food. Like I – because I just – that's – unfortunately, I'm not – I don't graze. I will just – I'll go – I will like not eat for a long period of time and then I will just pound like 4,000 or 5,000 calories really fast, which is probably the opposite of what you really should be doing. But when you watch somebody eat what looks like a lot of food, you think, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had a Dick's drive-in burger eating contest once at Cairo, and I think I won. It was me, Sean DeTore, Rachel Bell,
Libby.
I think I might have won Libby, but I think I had like six burgers. Six, and they're small cheeseburgers from Dick's are quite compact. And if you would have asked me, I'd have been like, I could probably eat 20 of those easily because I've eaten three and not even blinked. But the difference between three and six is massive. Like,
and
that's,
it was
I guess
timed,
that's really where
we
I'm
should
going
say, too. You didn't just tap out because you were full, and I'm not saying you weren't, but like, it was also timed.
Yes, but I think I was not very far from being unable to consume more. And so I guess my point is when I watched this video on Deadspin of this guy trying to eat 50 eggs, I looked at it and I was like, that doesn't look like that many. Like, and it was scrambled. I was like, I think I could knock that down, throw some ketchup on there. And I'd be good to go, but the displeasure was so apparent on the face of this guy from Deadspin that I was like, it must be really much be harder than I would think. That being said, I would go with scrambled because hard boiled, it just seems you'd be noting how each egg would start to take on its own whole kind of dimension. Whereas if it's scrambled, it's just kind of a big pile of it. You could just maybe try to grind through it. What would you go with?
Do you think that the judges in this imaginary scenario that I've set up would allow me to go with various kinds of eggs? Because my gut says hard.
50 is 50.
Okay, if that is 50, if the rules are 50 is 50, I could see scrambled being like the kind of
the
immediate go-to, but I think you would get sick of them too quickly, and I think the problem with that would be just kind of like I think the idea of another bite of scrambled egg might make you sick. So I could see like kind of saying, okay, I'm going to move away from the scrambled for a second. I'm going to slide some of those fried eggs maybe over hard down my gullet, and then when I get sick of that, maybe move back to the scrambled eggs. Yeah, I know. I'm not making it better on imaginary me in this scenario by using
how
language
much
like
baked
that.
Ziti could you?
Well, I'd be a big hit with the dude who brought some of that lunch meat over.
That's what you've been going for the whole
that's
time.
Exactly. Right.
I want to mention to folks that I did finally get my email working.
Oh, good.
TBTL.net is once again operational. It was quite the production because I found myself – so I told you before the show. I got in bed at like 7:50 p.m. last night.
You tell them what you told me. Jeopardy was over and I went to bed.
Yeah, Jeopardy was done, so it was time to go to bed. And I actually lied to Carrie. Not lied, but I exaggerated.
That's my wife.
I said, would you think it was just – well, two things happened. One – I recently became the proud owner of a foot massaging machine because I've been having some plantar fasciitis.
Oh, God, issues. I heard that's painful.
I think there's definitely there's degrees to it, and I'm luckily on the light end of the spectrum with it. Like, it's just uncomfortable a little bit, but I think it can be really bad. And I'm trying to keep it from getting really bad, and I had heard that there are certain foot massage – almost like medical-grade foot massaging machines that can be pretty good for that. And so – I went on Amazon as I do, which thanks to Chris Hayes's Why Is This Happening podcast on Amazon, about the topic of Amazon, a recent episode. Boy, oh boy, I'm making the world a worse place. Although I was buying this foot massaging machine, oddly enough, from like a small family business in North Carolina, run I believe by a woman who like writes a little like. They're printed out. They're not handwritten. But there's a little note from this woman in North Carolina in this – I assumed I bought this from like Foxconn.
Yeah, right.
This,
yeah.
This foot massaging machine. Like, I'm like, they definitely make this in China. It's definitely made under bad – and frankly, it's probably still manufactured in China even if it's sold to me by a woman in North Carolina. But it was an oddly homey touch when I got the foot massager. Anyway, point being, they came in the mail yesterday. I was very excited to try it out. I had that going. I also was ready to go to bed when Jep was over, and Carrie goes, I go, would you think it was really lame? And I'd already crossed that Rubicon by sitting there with a foot massager on my feet for the previous hour. Like, any hint of virility and youthful testosterone-fueled traditional masculinity that might have come from me that ship had sailed as soon as I slipped my feet into the foot massager.
But you won some respect back by getting every single answer right in the World War II documentary column.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I heard on Cairo this morning, I heard Tom Tangney talking about a movie that's about basically World War I. And I was like, oh, I've got to go see that.
Yeah. Actually, that World War I is fascinating, and it doesn't appear in as much of our pop culture. So actually, that does
Peter Jackson movie.
Oh, Peter Jackson.
Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
Peter Jackson went and got all this. It's all documentary footage. So it's a documentary about World War I. But apparently it starts in like the – anyway – Ghost. I don't even remember the name of the movie. The point is, yes, Andrew. Foot massage, bed by 7:45. World War One or Two documentary. I'm in.
Yeah,
I am. I am here for this. I am here for this extreme middle aged behavior. But Carrie, I said, would you think it was super lame if I went to bed right now? And she goes, well, what time is it? And I rounded up to 8. That's the sad part.
At 7:45.
I knew it was like. I knew it was like 7:48. We were watching. By the way, if you're trying to figure out the timing on that, it's because. We DVR Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No,
so,
no shame in that.
So
I mean,
that's,
some shame.
That's why it was over before the – so we're watching like yesterday's Jeopardy today, as it were. So I basically fibbed to Carrie. I rounded up to 8 p.m.
See, that's
about
what I
– my about.
I do that in my head all the time. Not about going to bed early, but – I mean, for the first time in your life, you got a kind of a taste of how I look at a clock. Like when we're planning things out, and if something is like, if it's 10 minutes till 7, I look at that, I'm like, okay, it's already 7 o'clock, which means, you know, by the time we do this and then that and then that, you look at 10 minutes to 7 and you're like, oh, it's 7:30. So like now for the first time, you've looked at a clock and you've seen it through my eyes. Was that exhilarating for you?
It was great, but Carrie also was capable of looking at a clock, and I said 8, and she looked at it, she goes, it looks like it's 7:48. Like, I didn't know if you could see that far without your glasses. Anyway,
Here we go.
I go get in bed, but when I say I went to bed, I now bring the laptop with me, which I used to be a major, like, don't do that, But when you start getting in bed before 10 p.m., mm-hmm. there's still some stuff to do. You know what I mean? I used to go to bed at like 1:30 after drinking a bunch and watching a bunch of TV. And it was and while I was on the couch, I would have my laptop and I would like get today's edition of the show ready, yada, yada, yada. So I all of this is to say I got into a chat with the GoDaddy people. The reason I was using the chat function and not calling them was because the phone was in the other room and I didn't want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I also didn't have my wallet in the bedroom with me. So I was going to have to like tell somebody at GoDaddy, like, can you spot me? Because I don't have my debit card with me. And they were going to say, well, where is it? And I would be like, it's in the other room and I'm in bed. It's 8:15.
Right.
I can't. So I was – anyway, I ended up getting someone on the line. It was quite a maddening conversation, but it eventually worked out. I have email again, luke@tbtl.net. I think I wasn't getting emails. If your email that you sent me bounced back to the listeners, I did not receive that. It is not now gone. Like, those are not part of my life. So resend anything you were trying to send me in the last week or two. The last email I got was from someone named Hannah D'Alessandro. If you're Hannah D'Alessandro, you don't have to send me another email.
Unless Hannah sent you email since then.
That's a great point. I hadn't even considered that.
But wait,
if you emailed me after Hannah D'Alessandro did, you have to re-email me.
I have a question. So did you end up having – there's no way that you were able to get somebody at GoDaddy to, quote, just spot you the money.
I kind of had a moment of thinking it was going to maybe happen because, like,
who is my daddy and what does he do?
I kind of knew this is, I'm sorry, this is in the weeds of this whole thing, but I guess maybe conversations about customer service are relatable. What had basically happened was because one of my debit card number was compromised, I got a new debit card, and that was the card that was paying for our email account. Why I'm paying for that and not APM, I'll never know. I guess it's a survival technique of like if we get fired, I want to still own – I want to own the emails and I want to own – I have a private server in my home.
Yeah,
it will stand in the way of me becoming president. But like I pay for tbtl.net and it really is a thing where – and our friends at APM who may be listening to this right now have been nothing but amazing to us and really like pivotal in this show existing. But I can't get past the fact that, like, we could be fired at any moment, and I want to, like, still have the ability to do the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, I pay for that stuff. And what had happened was somehow, bizarrely, the account that we have that you're on, Andrew, that I'm on, it reverted to being a free account because they could not charge my card. And in the scramble, my email was deleted. luke@tbtl.net no longer existed. But andrew@tbtl.net was fine and dandy. You get one free email account, and you, my friend, had it, which I'm very okay with just being the system.
Yeah,
you know that.
That actually, no joke, that does work out well because I'm the one who grabs the emails for the email segment at the end. That would have thrown more things into
right. Well, it would have gotten fixed faster.
But I was a little bit worried.
It would have been,
yeah, that's true. But I was a little worried yesterday because I thought to myself, this is how lazy I am. I was working on some stuff here and I was like, oh, Luke doesn't have email. I should – because basically when people send in music for your weekend, you are in charge of that. You go through the emails. You pick the songs you like. I'm usually copied on those things and I just take them. I don't even usually open them. I just save them in a folder called Music for Your Weekend in case you're out on a Friday. I just need to scramble and grab something. So I have all those emails, but they're all unopened in a folder called Music for Your Weekend. And it was like late yesterday and I thought – you know, Luke doesn't have email. I should really be ahead of the game here and just go in there and pick a music for your weekend. And I think I opened one and I was like, I don't like this song and this is too much work. And then I closed it all down. I thought maybe we'll have a miracle. And we do have a miracle because I got your show sheet today and the listener suggested music for your weekend is right there.
Well, it's God, this is so entertaining to me and you and no one else. But I went through this whole journey last night as I as I climbed into bed, I thought I could just try to deal with this tomorrow morning. But I was like, I'm going to go crash a basketball game at the high school that I'm not totally invited to. We could talk about that later.
High school?
I was like, the morning's going to be a little hectic. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this worked out in time for the show. And then what I'll end up having to do is ask Andrew. The only thing I do that's back end related to this show really at this point is I do select the music for your weekend. It is the only task that I am tasked with. And I was like, it would be pretty lame of me to ask you, Andrew, as you've spent this whole week just assiduously editing and sweetening and compressing and making our TBTL radio special, Love is on the Air, getting it ready for broadcast on public radio stations across the country. And, like, I have one job, and I'm like, hey, Andrew, could you pick a music for your week? Because I'm too lazy to deal with GoDaddy. So it's funny because I thought that whole thing through in my mind, and I decided that was a bad idea. Hence me being chatting with GoDaddy. But then – so I kind of knew – to your question of did I think they were going to spot me, I knew what the deal was. The deal was I needed to sign up for a different kind of account, or the deal was I needed to just get a new card in the system. But for reasons that are too boring to get into, it wasn't readily apparent how to do that. But then, because I think, I'm going to be honest, a language barrier that even came through in the chat function, which is pretty intense, because usually the chat function is – that's a great place to deal with – or to have dealings with people for whom English is not a first language, because that written version is a lot easier. It's clearer to both parties. I've just found it to be – like I've rarely been like, oh, I'm talking with somebody who's very far away from me right now. It all kind of works usually on the chat function. Well, anyway, this person said, let me see if I can get your account turned back on, after we went back and forth for a long time. And I was like, maybe they just don't realize – that I just need to sign up a new card. And so I had a moment, Andrew, of thinking that I like, oh, maybe I'll and then I, you know, I knew at some point I was gonna have to pay, but I was like, maybe they'll just like one time I was at QFC buying a bunch of groceries to make a big breakfast for Addie and her friends, and my card got turned off because again it was in a batch of numbers that may have been compromised. And I'm sitting there, the food is on the conveyor belt at the grocery store, and I called the bank, or I called the card, and they said, we will turn it back on for 3 minutes, which was insanely cool. I mean, overall, I was annoyed at the process, but I'm sure I talked about this on the show mm-hmm. when it happened. But they turned it on long enough for me to swipe it one time and pay for the groceries. So I thought, well, maybe that's what GoDaddy's going to do. They're going to turn it on long enough for me to harvest a music for your weekend email, and then it'll turn off. That's fine. That's all I needed at that moment. But they did not. The guy came back and said, you need to sign up for – you need to blah, 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 pay money. I did, and so here we are.
So did you have to get your card, though? I mean, the whole thing is, did you have to get up out of bed and get your card in the other room?
No, I used PayPal.
So
it worked out.
I called Amazon and had one of their drones come and pick up my card from the other room and deliver it.
I had a drone fly into the house and get my card from the other room and fly it into the bedroom.
We're getting
I did
close.
Seriously. I'm not shitting you, Andrew. The thought went through my mind because Carrie was still watching TV, and the thought I had was, do I text Carrie and ask her to bring me my wallet if we get to a critical point
That's my wife.
In this negotiation with the GoDaddy people?
Wow.
Again, I decided against that plan. It didn't end up happening anyway, but the thought went through my mind.
Hey, you know, there's one thing that I could have been more helpful. I thought you were copied on this tweet that we got, 2 days ago? This is from somebody tweeting at us, no name here, going by Ocean's Blue. So imagine me, your longtime 10, driving home at 1:30 a.m. from the Arizona GoDaddy call center, where I am in hosting support, and hearing your distress call. I am at your service. I left you an email, but... you broken.
Oh, no.
So I sent you a DM in Facebook with my contact info. I can solve it. I don't know. I wonder, is there a chance that I shut down all my Facebook stuff, but I think that people might still think they can reach me via Messenger. Facebook is such a pain in the ass. And I think maybe it looks like I'm still on Messenger.
I don't know. That company has a pretty good track record,
yeah.
If you ask me.
I need to totally obliterate my account, because I think that's adding more confusion. I think I deactivated it instead of deleting it. And I know that you kind of
keep yours. I deleted mine.
Oh, you did? I thought you were keeping it for TBTL stuff, for your fun runs and stuff.
I just decided, honestly, the last round, we were now way overdue for the break, mm-hmm. but the last round of just horrendously bad news related to the company PR around just Russian shit and just data. I'm not an expert on this topic. I do think that there's some amount of truth to what's being said about Facebook, and there's probably some amount of exaggeration or misunderstanding. I know they actually have some stricter policies about – I was listening to Marketplace, our fine colleagues down there in Los Angeles, APM colleagues. They were talking to somebody from Facebook, and the sense I got was that there are actually some rules in place for Facebook about the data now that are actually stricter than you realize, we realize. But they still have obviously done some pretty lousy things, and that was the last straw for me. And I was like, you know what? I'm keeping this so once a year I can put pictures of my jog on here. And then I thought, I'll just do that at a different place if that's why I'm keeping the account. So I deleted mine, but, you know, it is – it may still be active because they like – there's a month waiting period.
Yeah.
You can buy an AR-15 so much easier than you can cancel your effing Facebook account.
True like, story.
It may still be – again, so I might technically have an account. I have asked it to be deleted. The process is in – you know – underway. But anyway, sorry. So yeah, to Ocean Blue on Twitter, whoever that was, thank you so much for reaching out. And honestly, I think I didn't call. I mean, I didn't know Ocean Blue had reached out, but I would have called that person. But I didn't call I didn't call them. I wanted to chat, honestly, mm-hmm. to some degree, because I didn't have to tell someone with my voice that I was in bed at 8 p.m. and couldn't go to the other room to get my wallet. It right. seemed more embarrassing to me. I wanted the relative anonymity of a chat function.
We got to get you a really long stick so you can just – it's something that you can just hold that will like bring anything near
oh my God.
You closer.
Okay. I'll do this in 1 minute. Okay. But the foot massager that I bought, I was reading the reviews before I ordered it, and they were generally positive. There was like one negative review, and it was I assume it was a dude. I guess I don't know for a fact, but he was complaining that it was only set up for people with small feet and small calves, and he said he had medium-sized feet and medium-sized calves, and he was having problems, and he was mad that it didn't have a remote control, and he said, I have a long stick that I put a rubber tip on that I'm currently using to control the foot massager. And the idea of this guy with his medium calves sitting there with his long stick banging on the foot massager and then going on Amazon to give it a poor review, that just killed me.
Oh, my God. I'm getting real Homer Simpson-esque pictures in my head of this person.
I mean, I just – and then it was the specifics of the review were funny because it was like he said, I'm taking another star away. So he had posted a review where he was giving it whatever amount of stars. And then I guess he went back to the massager, used the stick more, and then found it – he's found it so unpleasant that he went back and amended his review to be less stars than the first review he had left.
But I wonder if you click on his profile, if it turns out he's giving the stick a really good review. Like
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we will be back, and we will do some more TBTL, so don't go anywhere.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steaming. The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share.
A little midnight oil.
Yeah, beds are burning because the laptop is too hot.
I always found I found this song to be a little – I just found the guy from Midnight Oil to be a little bit kind of ominous. And then I realized as an adult, oh, it's because he has that alopecia, like totalis. He doesn't have any hair. He doesn't have any eyebrows or anything. And so it was kind of just a look I wasn't used to. And then I just looked the guy up. His name's Peter Garrett. His current job in Australia is Minister for School Education, Early Childhood, and Youth.
No shit.
Or at least that was a job he had. He totally got into politics. He was the Australian Labor Party member of the House of Representatives for the seat of Kingsford Smith, New South Wales.
I had no idea.
The guy from friggin' Midnight Oil. How crazy is that?
This is
and there's like
real
campaign photos of him, campaign posters of the guy from Midnight Oil. I got to send you this, Andrew. This is bananas.
This is going to sound kind of shitty. People should do what they want. Musicians should do what they want. But like... there are just so many other bands that I wish after their peak they had just decided to go into another business. And I wish them well. Be successful. I'm not, you know, like be like you hear about the people who go into education sometimes. You hear about professors who used to be punk rockers, etc. And you're like, you know, that's great. I like that you're not like kind of just like – and again, people,
playing the Roxino –
Yeah, and if you're making money doing that and you want to do it and the fans like it, like, you have every right to do it. I don't know why I would need to harsh anybody's buzz on that. But there's just something cool about the fact that Midnight Oil, like, that's how that story goes, as opposed to, oh, Midnight Oil is still, like, kind of touring and doing Beds Are Burning as an
encore.
Coming
to the Emerald Queen Casino. The time has come. Midnight Oil opening for... Peter Frampton.
And then clip of other Midnight Oil song that you're like, oh, that's Midnight Oil? I think I remember that one.
And don't miss Sinbad. Why is it that Grandmama ain't got no job? They always got money. The home of Northwest Entertainment. Camaro can do all of from his days of programming. And to some degree producing the commercials, he could do all of the EQC entertainment. I swear to God, it's never not Neil Giraldo and Pat Benatar. It is, and then you get some Paul, the guy from Bad Company.
Oh,
some Bad Company coming through.
What's his name? Paul Rogers. He was also in a band called Free.
Get some Paul Rogers of Bad Company, and relevant to our recent conversations. Bob Seger, final tour. And I was like, do you promise?
Right. The I promise tour. I promise this is really it.
What rhymes with promise? Chevy. How do I work that in? I know that I've brought this up so many times on the show, and I've made basically the same point, so I'll try to keep this part brief. But they've really ramped up, I guess it's Chevy. The ads where the guy is always surprising people about some Chevy-related fact, right? And now the latest ones are he's at a family reunion, and he's showing people these Chevys, and they're surprised at how J.D. Power and Associates like Chevy or something. And I just can't say this enough. Dude, nobody cares. If I was at a family reunion and they wanted to talk about the Chevy Traverse, I would leave. I would leave the family.
Yeah.
People do not have opinions about the Chevy Traverse.
No, they do not.
And the premise of these commercials that you have these people, like these families are geeked to have someone pulled up Chevrolet vehicles at their get together. That's not how a normal family would respond. I'm deeply annoyed by the premise or the conceit, I guess you could say, of all of these commercials that people walk around thinking about the Chevy Traverse and where it ranks based on J.D. Power and Associates. Nobody has that thought.
They're a scourge. I hate those commercials so bad. They elicit an amount of anger in me that is completely disproportionate to what is actually going on. It's like a 30-second commercial. It shouldn't matter. And for some reason, those commercials...
It's not offensive per se.
Send me into a rage.
For the same reason?
Yeah, well, everything about it. And also, I don't understand... I feel like there's this trend of super annoying spokespeople. In fact, Veeves and I, on After These Messages, I think it was our last show or maybe two shows ago, we did a whole thing about commercials that star people that you would otherwise like, but they're making themselves hateable. We call it the Middle Ditch effect. You know, Thomas Middle Ditch, fine comedian. I hate those so much.
Really? Because I just feel like his... I like him. I think he comes off likable in them. You think it's you don't like him.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't understand why these. Well, maybe it does work. Maybe if you just look at it strictly comedically and you think it's funny, it works for you. But for me, it just doesn't make sense that you would make this person who's supposed to represent your company I understand. Make it funny, fine, but I find him to be so unlikable in those commercials. I just it's made me dislike it. It's put a stank on him. Not just Verizon, the Verizon commercials. I guess when I'm thinking about carriers or whatever, I don't think about carriers. I don't think did Thomas Middleditch tell me to get Verizon or T-Mobile? It's probably just whatever.
Does the guy who looks suspiciously like me get you with the glasses get you to switch to whatever the yellow colored carrier is that he now does, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
the Paul
guy who
guy?
Used to be the Can You Hear Me Now.
Yeah. Now that guy is pretty terrible too.
That guy looks exactly like me. I think
I never made that
with,
connection
but slightly more hair.
You have one of those faces though. I feel like even more than me, and I'm just kind of generic beardy like Pacific Northwesty looking guy. We get so many emails from people who are just like, look, it's Luke. Or you must get a bunch of tweets too. Like, people see your face on a lot of people, like in commercials and stuff.
I don't, there's a comparison that's been made before that I find exquisitely flattering. And then there are some that are less flattering. Someone told me I look like the guy from Midnight Oil. I was like, middle. I was medium on that. Occasionally, and maybe when I was in like really good shape, Colin Firth would come up, which I don't, I don't see it.
Take
it. But I will take it.
Take
it. Are you kidding me? 100%. But I think truly I look like Paul from those commercials. And I always have. Even in like my younger days, I used to wear glasses like his for affect. And I think I physically resemble him very much. And by the way, I don't think he's a particularly he's not – he's just kind of in the middle. He's just – he's not ugly. He's not handsome. He just kind of exists. And that's how I think of my face.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a picture now. I don't super see it. But you just passed over something that I find fascinating that I didn't know about you. It's nice to know that we can still keep the relationship fresh. You used to wear fake glasses?
Yeah. I mean, they were – so what happened was they were – I got some headaches in college, and I went to a doctor. They said go to an optometrist because it could be – or I guess would that be an ophthalmologist?
I get anyway, confused.
I went to an eye – I think the optometrist has some medical training, but then they're mostly in the providing of glasses business, and the ophthalmologist is in the diagnosing of and treatment of eye things business would be my guess. Anyway, I went to one of them, and they said, oh, you might have some astigmatism, maybe like reading textbooks and stuff. This is like before computers were such a big deal. And so I got some glasses that were prescription glasses. I don't think they did any good, but I liked how wearing glasses – I mean, I was a kid who wanted to have headgear and glasses. Mm-hmm. Like I thought that that was the sexiest thing on a girl, 100%. Like, and I would make fake braces out of paper clips and stuff. I mean, I didn't like try to pass them off as real braces. I would just out of boredom in school. So when I got glasses, I was like, oh, I like this. And then from there, I started getting glasses that weren't even prescription. They were just like kind of for a look. And like when I was in that beer commercial, I had to wear them the whole time because they were the only distinguishing factor of my face. Because there was another guy who I became friends with named Micah Castle, who is a jazz drummer and also works for Adidas these days in Portland. He and I look very similar. We were both cast in the commercial, and the only thing that made me look different was I had these glasses on like the guy from the Can You Hear Me Now commercials.
Huh.
So
– and that commercial – I always ask you this. That commercial is just lost to history, right? Like nobody has any – I mean we would have dug it up by now, I assume, or one of the 10s would have if it was accessible anywhere.
Oh, I have it. I have it somewhere. I can send it to you.
I would love to see you. You think it's digitized?
I have it on my computer. I
oh,
know
my God.
Digitized. I don't know how I got it. I think it was on – I think it's on YouTube too, and there's probably like 9 views, and there's probably 8 of them are me drunk going like – I mean you would so you know what we should do one week when we don't get around to doing a Hey Dummies? We should just put it in as the video.
Yes, we should.
Hey, look at this.
I have no idea that this – Here, it's on YouTube. I swear I had looked this up before. This has been on YouTube since 2012. This is I got
you
it.
Found it.
It was posted by My Northwest. I had no idea. You have talked about this commercial for so long. I swear I've never seen it. I mean, maybe if you go back in the archives of TBTL, we've actually lived this moment before. Like, I could see that happening,
Probably. That
maybe I have seen it, but...
Welcome to the multiverse.
I feel like I've seen this in my mind's eye so many times. I don't know what's real and what's my memory. Can I just play this? Do you mind?
Go nuts.
All right, let's get into this.
Let's do this. Let's go.
Bunch of fun.
How about I narrate for people what's happening? You just have a bunch of young people who are, like, adventuring. They're in an old Land Rover, and they're... They're driving down roads in Canada, and they're playing guitar by a campfire, and they're just doing generally fun young people things.
It's like a Smashing Pumpkins video
accurate?
Without all the annoying Smashing Pumpkins.
It's totally like a Smashing Pumpkins
jumping
video.
Into a lake. There's not been a close-up on you yet, or if so, I've missed it.
Look for a guy in glasses.
Okay. Oh, eating eggs. Oh, I see the side of your face. I see the side of Luke's face, everybody.
This oh my God, great. You guys, it's happening.
It's happening.
I think I do a little, I'm wearing a cowboy hat and no glasses. I've seen it, and I do a dance.
I couldn't see your face there, but just by the dance, I knew that was you doing that jig. Oh,
the mummy is prominently featured.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is, yeah. Wow, this is great.
And okay, it's, now you've seen this.
It's still got
did it exceed or
lettering on it.
Yeah. Did it exceed, meet or underwhelm your expectations?
Well,
hearing about it so much.
You know, watching it here with you and also feeling like I kind of at least try to describe it. You know what? Are these VCR, this VCR lettering on here that says hi-fi, is that like, is that something that's,
no, that's
in the
not,
commercial that they're doing to make it
no,
seem
what
like
happened
it's
was we got, I somehow, I like, My Northwest must have gotten that from me.
Yeah.
And I got it from, I don't know who, but basically what happened was that commercial, which I literally never even saw on television, it must have aired. They spent like $1 million on it. It must have played somewhere, but I never saw it. I can't remember how, but I got like, somebody emailed it to me or it was on a website or something. But that, like, the stuff you're seeing on the screen is not like, that's, they're not trying to make a statement or do like a digital after effect. It's
right.
Literally because somebody was dubbing it into something.
I see.
And like that was just, you know, I feel like there was some point to this madness that was us just playing a TV commercial that I can't even see. Certainly, I'm an advocate for the listeners.
Yeah,
because I also wasn't able to see it, although I have seen it many times in my life. But yeah, so back to the Chevy commercials. I don't think people care about Chevy that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I agree. Yet somehow that campaign must be working because it's been running for so long, and I don't know what it is. It does seem like, I mean, there are so many pieces about. I think I came across a change.org petition to get it off the air. like people just hate that commercial so much, yet they're just.
Oh, I know what it was. You were talking about a thing from after these messages, your wonderful podcast about commercials that you and Genevieve do. That you guys have the middle ditch effect.
Yeah, so that's kind of lost on you. But I'm trying to think who else was in it. Middle ditch to me is like the patron saint of that. Because he actually, by the way, made a joke on he's on Comedy Bang Bang from time to time in character as some sort of, I don't know, silly character. I think with like a southern accent, if I recall. And in character, somebody mentions his Verizon commercials. Like, oh, what about that guy in those Verizon commercials? He's like, yeah, I worry about that guy. Sometimes I stay up at night and wonder if this whole thing is really just making him unlikable or really hurting his brand or something like that. And I was like, amen, brother. Like, it made me humanize Middle Ditch for Middle Ditch to acknowledge the fact that, like, now he is – more people know his face associated with this bumbling idiot who is just getting in the way – busting up weddings and just being just so obscenely obnoxious and oblivious to the world around him, which, again, a little bit of comedy in a commercial. Sure, I get that. A little bit. I let you be a little funny in your commercials. But I don't get making
it.
The person, you know, who's actually supposed to, in a certain way, represent the company, making them so unlikable. But if you like them, then I guess, you know, it's almost
But I'm not any more inclined to use that product because of it. And you're right. I mean, the way you're talking about it, it makes some sense to me. In other words, I can tell you that at no time did I watch it and think, oh, I should get that service. So it's not having the desired effect on me. And maybe that's because subconsciously Thomas Middleditch is not coming off as likable or the hero or solving a problem for people. He's just kind of like – I guess what I like is there's – boy, now I'm really just going deeper into this. The current one that's running – he says to a guy, and I almost feel like this is a kind of sly allusion to the Chevy commercials. He says to this dude, like, if you had a chance, would you go with the cell phone company that had the best coverage or the most affordable plans or whatever? I'm just making that up.
Yep.
And the guy goes, I don't know. And he goes, well, you don't have to choose because Verizon is both of them. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, why didn't you just lead with that?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, because it's kind of like a fun thing. That to me totally sounded like a slam of those Chevy commercials, how they're always – because that's literally the premise of those stupid ones.
That's interesting. You know what? I didn't make that connection. You may be right about that. That guy who he's talking to in that commercial appears in a couple of these now, and I find him kind of be unlikable as well a little bit. And I almost thought – I mean, this is
nobody gets out alive.
This is a weird – this is a real deep state conspiracy theory, but I was thinking like they cast somebody who's kind of annoying to make Middleditch seem – less annoying. I actually wondered about that. Like Genevieve had Paul in those Verizon commercials, the formerly Can You Hear Me Now guy, he was so smug and annoying that they started putting I believe it's a young woman who like plays a Verizon intern in those commercials, and she's highly annoying too. And Genevieve honestly thinks that they're just like trying to surround these annoying people by more annoying people so you actually like the main people more. Will Arnett, by the way, my last one of people who I love doing commercials that I hate. He is the voice of these Reese's commercials, and they're like these 15-second long commercials. They're pretty, you know, anodyne. You just see like these close-ups of the candy, and they look good. But then the tagline that Reese's came up with is "Not Sorry," and I hate "Sorry, Not Sorry" so much. Like I've always hated that. There's something. I don't know. I don't have to, let's not dissect it. I just hate that kind of like slang term, like sorry, not sorry. And like Will Arnett doing these candy commercials is just like, all right, we're going to get rid of this candy now to not tempt you anymore. Oh, no, we're keeping it there. Reese's, not sorry. I was like, fuck you. Just like not sorry. I hate not sorry so much as a concept. And then in this commercial, and like it makes me hate Will Arnett so much. And I love Will Arnett. I don't want to fight with him.
You know the one – well, two things on this real quick. One is David Cross in the M&M's commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Not a fan. I'm not a fan of any of those commercials.
Yeah.
For the reasons that – this reason has been pointed out by many people, but it's like – first of all, don't anthropomorphize this candy I'm about to just go to town on. Like they have like a family. Yeah. Like the peanut M&M has a goddamn family now, and I just murdered their dad. And then I don't understand what the joke is supposed to be about how they hate David Cross because he's caramel.
Yeah, I don't.
Also, those are not good. Those caramel M&Ms, which that's two things I love in the world. And I was like, I am very ready for this. Not very good. But like they make David Cross's character like they don't like David Cross's character, but he's the new spokesman. But then he makes this joke about his resume is laminated, which I was like, what does that even mean? And Carrie said, well, maybe it's because caramels come in, sometimes in those wrappers, like plastic wrapped, but his character isn't plastic wrapped. It's just a mess.
Oh, I don't know if I know what the laminated one here. Let me play this Reese's thing for you.
Does this make you want a Reese's?
Oh, it's an illusion, Michael.
Okay, we'll stop. Just kidding. We're not going to stop. Not sorry.
What?
Reese's.
What? I've never even seen those, but man, those fill me with anger.
Thank you. I know. I feel like I'm just such an angry old man today, but yeah.
It's just been so long since – I know this just sounds hilarious because I've just been dissecting quite boringly for the listeners a bunch of commercials. But other than during sporting events, I just so rarely watch commercials anymore that I've never – somehow that is completely – that annoying dude has completely escaped my radar and I am – I'm glad for it because I don't like that at all. And that's even like back to the David Cross thing. David Cross is a tough one though because David Cross doesn't take any shit from anyone over his choices. Remember when – I don't know. I can't remember what the movie – he was in a pretty lousy animated movie. He was a voice and people gave him shit and he was like, I bought a house in the woods with this money that I go to and relax. And it was like
– Was it a Chipmunks one? Because he actually – they even brought it back in the latest, like kind of the reboot of Mr. Show, which wasn't called Mr. Show, I believe there's even a joke about that. Somebody's like, hey, why were you in that movie? Why were you in that? Was it the Chipmunks? I think it was a Chipmunks or something like that.
Yeah. Chipwrecked or something.
Yeah.
David Cross is not taking anyone's shit over his artistic choices, which is his right. David Cross does not seem like a pleasant person to be around at all. And I love his characters. I would say his comedy, his stand-up comedy is a bit hit and miss for me, but it, you know, obviously, Mr. Show and Tobias and all that, it's pretty great. But I also I do not feel like he and I would hit it off as people as friends, which we're in no danger of becoming friends, so I don't think I have to worry too much about this. But he's just very like, I guess you could just say he's assertive, but it's like he's just not taking anyone's shit. So I literally have the thought when I'm thinking, God, David Cross. I can't believe that you delivered the line, it's laminated. And then I was like, yeah, but you've already you've already gotten in front of this criticism by being like, yeah, I built an extra room on my cabin in the woods with its laminated money. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of can't. I mean, Lord knows I have done and will continue to and hope to in the future do many, many, many lower profile, more embarrassing gigs than David Cross is doing. So I can't. Although I have started to, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that I've managed to completely stop doing little gigs and ads and things on the side that are sometimes embarrassing, but I have started to try to subtly steer the ship from my side of it. In other words, say like, without being annoying, I try to say like, how would we all feel about trying it this way? Like, if I were David Cross and I show up to do the read and they're like, your big laugh line is, of course, it's laminated. I don't know what I would do in that moment. Well, what I would do is I would read the goddamn line.
Yeah.
But
what would be cool would be if you could go to the bank would be with if you my could, giant check.
Yeah. And then I would cash a check for $1 million. Like, I guess I would just do it. But my hope would be that there would be some way to get a better line in there. But I don't know. I mean, if you put me in that commercial, I'm going to do the exact same thing that David Cross did. But that to me is an example of someone who's very funny doing something that's very unfunny. And last thing I'll say about commercials, because we're now, you know, 10 minutes from being done with the show and we haven't even gotten to our top stories yet, is there's a Lebowski commercial in this coming Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. It's him and Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and
the
City.
And it is for, I guess, Heineken and
no,
and
Stella Artois.
Jeff Bridge. Oh, thank you. And I guess the money, it's about a program to try to create drinking water for people that need that. So I think that's how Jeff Bridges got kind of enticed to do it. I don't think he needs the money.
Well, the weird thing is that's not the focus. Have you watched the commercial? The commercial actually.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Stella has this thing where, they've partnered up with, I can't remember the name of the nonprofit for, to try to provide more drinking water for places in the world where they need it. And Matt Damon was doing some pretty earnest like commercials where they were addressing that pretty straight on. And then it would be like, you know, Stella would be mentioned. But this commercial, it's straight up a Stella commercial. The very end, I think they throw a hashtag at the end about something about water. But the commercial itself is, I mean, I'll just tell you, the whole point of the commercial is, they've released it online in either a 30-second or a minute-long, I think a 30-second form. I assume that they're going to expand on it during the Super Bowl. But the commercial itself is Carrie Bradshaw walks in. Of course, she always drinks Cosmos, I think. It's funny, yeah, because Genevieve made fun of me. I thought it was Manhattan's on the show. And somehow, anyway, I apparently embarrassed myself.
Such a Samantha.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, instead of ordering a Cosmo,
which one is Samantha?
I don't know. She instead of ordering her usual Cosmo, she orders a Stella, and then everybody's like, "What?" It's like record scratch, and people are dropping things, and what the hell's going on? And she's like, "Every now and then, I like a Stella." And then it's like, then he walks in, the dude walks in, they're like, "You want your usual White Russian?" He's like, "No, I'll take a Stella." And then like, so that's the joke. And my guess is they might expand on it with other, like, maybe for the Super Bowl, maybe we'll see a
iconic
James Bond or something, like order a Stella and shake and not stirred. I don't know exactly what their plan is, but that's the thrust
of
that
commercial.
It'd be
great if you ordered his Stella shaken and it's just a disaster.
It just goes all over the place.
It's just all over. Is it Daniel Craig? Is he the current James Bond?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I haven't watched any of the commercials. It's because we don't really do, like, were we still doing the show on Cairo or something? Of course, we would have pre-watched all of them and had opinions on all of them, because that's what you have to do if you do talk radio or if you do a show like you and Genevieve do. But I'm kind of blissfully unaware of it, which I kind of like this year. I'm barely even interested in watching the game other than seeing Tom Brady lose. I mean, I'm sure I'll get excited when the game's happening, but this is a weird Super Bowl for me. I'm just not, for whatever reason, even though I was kind of interested in the playoffs, I don't know. I feel like I figured the Rams were going to go because they're really good. Before the season, I would have said, yeah, the Rams will probably be there. And then the Patriots are just the Patriots. I do want to see Aaron Donald tackle Tom Brady 30 times. I want Tom Brady to be sacked 30 times in this game. So that will be fun to watch for. And then I guess I'll watch the commercials, and I won't know what's happening, so that will be kind of entertaining for me.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was going to say the same thing. Actually, I was going to make a joke opening the show about how pumped I am for the Super Bowl because, like, you know, it's just for I don't know, people with our interests, it's hard to be pumped about the Super Bowl. But, yeah, the commercials thing itself, too, Vives and I talked about this on the show. We don't want to be total spoil sports about it, but, like, this is my least favorite time to do the podcast, believe it or not. Like, because I just don't think Super Bowl commercials are good. I think that because there's so much pressure now to make them so big and get all this star power, and it's like there's like two or three avenues you can take with a Super Bowl commercial, but you're spending tons of money, so it's got to be either really celebrity driven, really kind of long and epic, and I don't know, I could list the other ones, or anybody could, but they're not interesting anymore. They're just like bigger and bigger. Like Jeff Goldblum is playing a piano while it's going up the side of a building. And oh my God, Yeezy's up there. It's like, what the? Or no, that was Lil Wayne. Anyway, it's just like, I just think they're some of the worst commercials, some of the most expensive commercials and highly produced and all these things. But in many cases, just my least favorite commercials. I like things that kind of like, I like campaigns that are kind of more organic and grow over time. And like
Shaq
flow.
In the General.
honestly, man, I will take Shaq. God, that's my Super Bowl commercial. That would be so great if they did one.
I want them to work on getting Shaq's eye line to be closer to where the General would be standing.
I do not want them to change a thing about those commercials. I love them so much the way they are. Stop trying to change them.
Skydiving together.
Oh my God, it's so fucking great.
Speaking of commercials, or at least sponsorship messages. Thank you, baby. We got to thank some of our donors of the day. I don't know if these people are paying the same amount that it would cost you to have like a Super Bowl commercial. I think it's close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable that they do this day in, month in, month out, and year out. Here we are, episode 2,828 in a collector series, 11 years in. And it's folks like Michelle Swan of Phoenix, Arizona, making it possible. Derek Weichel of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be in Philly this summer. We're doing Wait, Don't Tell Me, once again at the Mann Center for the Performing Arts. So, Derek, maybe I'll see you there. Last time I did the show there, my Uncle Chuck couldn't get into the facility. And so I asked over the PA system if they could please let my Uncle Chuck in, like from the stage, and they did. And it was very cute of my Uncle Chuck. Deborah Feist, Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Deborah. Ross Smith of Uppsala, Sweden.
Wow.
Hey-do.
Nice.
What up, Ross? Patricia Anderson of Kirkland, Washington, and then Nick Muser of Seattle, Washington. Nick, Patricia, Ross, Deborah, Derek, and Michelle, thank you so much for supporting TBTL. Thank you for donating money to the program. I've been on this a lot lately, but, you know, I'm signed up for so many of those different services and subscriptions and things like that, And I'm always looking for one that I can drop. I'm always like, well, what's the least important of all of these television products and Pandoras and Spotify's and the like? And I know that everyone does that equation in their head because these things tend to build up. And we got a bunch of people who are prioritizing TBTL. And they're like, hey, I'm going to keep sending that money out to TBTL. So I just want to say thank you so much. Thanks for letting us do this for our job. We're really lucky to do this, and it's just because of all of you. So thank you very much, babies. Thanks for keeping TBTL going. But everything's gonna be all right. Thank you, baby.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Yeah, that's right. At the 1 hour mark.
Mm-hmm. Hello,
we can do
River.
That. let's talk. I'm legitimately excited about this segment, Andrew. Usually, I'm faking it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I'm just going through the motions. But and by the way, thanks to donors of the day for helping me go through the motions five days a week. But
great
I
messaging.
Am legit excited about this. Yesterday. You laid some surprising facts on us by way of the recent Reader's Digest, now you've got today some things that we think of as being facts, but it turns out they are fake. They are They are actually not true, right? Do I have that correct?
Reader's Digest presents fascinating facts that are false. That's right. For example, Luke, blood is blue inside your body. Did you hear that growing up?
Yes, I did. I did hear that. I'm trying to think. Then what was the story of why it looked? Was it like the oxidization? Does it get oxidized by the air? Was that the reason why it looked red when it came out?
That's what I used to hear too. It's like, oh yeah, once it hits air, then it turns red. That is false. I would play the buzzer, but instead I'm playing the NCIS theme. Okay, there you go.
I've got this.
Human
covered.
Blood is the same color inside your body as it is outside. Red. Our veins just look blue because of the tissue covering them, which seems obvious. But I actually had forgotten about that false fact. But yeah, growing up, everybody was, oh yeah, you know, your blood is actually blue. It's just that if you cut yourself, then the air hits it immediately and it changes color. Not true.
Uh-oh. That's also tough because it means one of my very favorite shows, Donnie Wahlberg's Blue Bloods on TNT, is it's incorrectly named.
Because isn't it about a bunch of people who've never been cut?
Yeah.
That's why their blood is especially
blue. It's based
blue.
On M. Night Shyamalan's short story.
Uh-huh.
Paul Uncuttable. Why you think they call me Mr. Blue Blood?
Paul Revere never shouted, "The British are coming." I think we knew that. But let's go on to this one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Says what did he yell? The British are on their way?
He yelled, "Look out!"
Do it.
No, I couldn't think of anything funny. You can thank Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and his poem Paul Revere's Ride for spreading that tale. No one knows what, if anything, Revere shouted through the streets of Lexington, Mass., though we do know that he told one guard that the regulars are coming out, which is just not as poetic or exciting.
That happens at some TBTL events.
Yeah, the regulars are coming out. Hey, we got some regulars here.
Cool, the regulars are coming out.
Yeah.
He was riding to alert everyone about the British coming, but was he going to ring a bell or something? This tells you how little attention I paid in high school. I learned about Paul Revere in high school. I went to a high school that tried to keep it really easy. I majored
in Paul Revere in Kent. So I'm the perfect person to answer these questions for you.
We got an email from somebody who goes to Kent State, by the way. And they were excited about the, like, Andrew Walsh, the Andrew Walsh Kent State broadcast Hall of Fame enshrinement that you have there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger. I believe it's gilded now. I also got an email from somebody who went to Walsh Jesuit, and she was just like, when I went to Walsh Jesuit, I might have been the last class or second
man
to last
for others?
Class. Yes. It was an all-boys school when I went there, but I think they changed it maybe the next year or 2 years later. And this woman was a couple of years behind me, and she says, every time we say a man for others, she yells, and a woman for others, too. I wish I had her name. I don't have it in front of me. But that felt like a great connection to me. I was glad. I think that's the only other listener. All right, here. I love this one. You were about to ask a question about Paul Revere. I don't know the answer to it, so let's move on. The hottest part of a chili pepper is the seeds. I always thought that was true.
Definitely.
But I don't know how to say this word. Capsaicin, maybe, is a chemical compound.
Yeah, you said exactly right.
Perfect. That's the chemical compound that binds to the pain receptors on our nerves to produce the fiery heat. It's most concentrated in the inner white ribs of peppers. And the seeds don't actually contain any of that stuff, but they may be coated in it because they're touching the rib. You might have known that because you did that whole segment on hot peppers for LiveWire.
And before that, a segment on Flamin' Hot Cheetos, which gets into the trigeminal nerve, which is a whole thing. When you eat something spicy, it activates or it stimulates this thing called your trigeminal nerve, and it can create a little bit of a feeling of a euphoria, almost like a high. So the accurate way to describe it would be the ribs of the pepper are the hottest part of the pepper?
Yes. That's I find two things interesting here, that it's not the seeds, that the seeds actually don't contain any of the hot stuff. They're just near it. And the fact that it's actually the little ribs inside of a pepper that are the hot part, I wouldn't have guessed that because they're so gentle. And I would figure that that would be actually an unflavorful and unhot part of the pepper. I'm going to burn – there's some really interesting ones near the end of this. Okay. So I'm going to burn through a couple of the ones that I think are slightly less interesting.
Jesus, this is your way of telling me to not – opine on each and every one.
I mean,
it's
feel
hard.
Free.
Such
I don't
want to segment.
You know, I don't want to. You know, what we got like over 20 of these things. I don't want to. You know, steamroll over you. So if you have something, but don't feel like you need to dwell on these because we have a lot of them. Jesus Christ was born on December 25th. Nobody. I mean, we all know that's a symbolic date. Come on, Reader's Digest. No, you're just padding this out. The Sahara is the world's largest desert. Not true. Technically, Antarctica is. Antarctica is technically a desert because the U.S. Geological Survey defines a desert as arid land with meager rainfall, less than 10 inches per year, that supports only sparse vegetation and limited population of people and animals. So just because it's cold doesn't mean it's not a desert.
That seems like BS to me. Because it's getting a lot of snow and ice. There is moisture there. It just doesn't melt. Like, this is almost
Antarctica
like, this is
averages
semantic.
Only 6 inches of rain a year as snow. And you have to have 10. It's
what?
Snowy all the time because it's not going anywhere. It's not melting.
Right. It's not, I don't think there's, I don't feel like there's a lack of liquid. There is liquid. It's just suspended in the state of being snow and ice and permafrost. I just think, like, when we talk about, like, that's when, I mean, you know, well played, Reader's Digest, tip of the cap. Good job. You got me. But I just feel like that's kind of a, like, or a U.S. Geological Survey or whoever it is that they cited. Like, when we think of a desert, we think of a place that is hot and dry. And this place is freezing and dry. And that, to me, doesn't, that just is not what I think of with the desert. And I'm,
but that's
so,
why it's interesting, you know? Because the whole hot thing is just something that, like,
is
I mean,
that why?
Yeah, I mean, you think of it as a hot place. That's the whole point of this. But by definition, it's not.
Right.
A desert isn't defined by heat. A desert is defined by precipitation.
Right. Well, I choose to define deserts by heat. Is what I'm trying
I don't
to
want
say.
This segment is not about me getting in between you and Reader's Digest. Don't make me choose because, dude, okay. I'm going to choose
Fair.
Reader's Digest
no, I don't
every
want...
goddamn time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just
Can
so
I tell you one other false fact?
Yeah.
Another false fact, the fact that many of you believe, as I did, that Blue Bloods is on TNT. It's on CBS, a network I work for. I should have known.
They must have
a show
like
for
reruns.
Old people that I've never watched? That sounds like CBS.
I'll bet you some rerun is aired on TNT at least once. I'll have your back on that one. Here's a fascinating fact that isn't true. Chameleons can change their coloring to match any background. The lizards do it. I think it's better when I just do it with my mouth. The lizards do adjust their skin tone to camouflage themselves in certain environments, but their color range is actually very limited. The really vibrant hues you see on TV and in books aren't usually meant for tricking predators. Those chameleons are trying to attract a mate or defend their territory. Anyway, I don't think that one's that interesting. I mean, that's definitely some gray area there, if
you
will.
It makes sense, though, like if you think about it, because, yeah, chameleons are able to look more like their surrounding, but it's like if you put them on a paisley, like if you put them on a paisley blanket, they're not going to like turn paisley. Like it's just not
right.
physically possible.
Like they would in a cartoon. All right, how about this one? See, this one, I had never even heard of this fake fact before, but it led to other dazzling deets. eBay was founded by a man who wanted to help his fiance trade Pez dispensers. Apparently that's the urban legend, that eBay was founded by a guy who wanted to help his fiance trade Pez dispensers. Let's see. That's the story that circulated when the online auction house began, but it was all just PR. It is true that Pez, which was named after the German word for peppermint, which is Pfefferminz. Well, listen, if nothing else came out of this segment, you got to hear me butcher that word.
No, it was good.
100%. So Pez were originally created in 1927 to help smokers quit. Almost as strange, the all-important dispensers for Pez didn't get their character-inspired tops until 1957. The first one was, do you want to guess what the first Pez dispenser funny top was in 1957?
Oh, 1957, mm-hmm. funny top Pez dispenser. I am going to say it was Spider-Man.
I am going to say it was a witch.
Probably not even create a witch.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that the Pez dispenser is not only important, it is the only reason to consume Pez. Mm-hmm. I find the actual Pez candy to taste like soap, and it is horrible. It is one of the many things, like applets and cotlets, it's a treat that was invented when we didn't have good treats, in my opinion.
The fact that it was made for people to help them quit smoking, like, that all makes sense. Like, so apparently they had some sort of dispensers, but they weren't, like, cartoony dispensers. So you had this thing that was, like, a device or a contraption. Right. That
in
makes
sense.
In
your pocket.
And the shape of them really makes sense. Because now when you were describing how they taste, I haven't had a Pez in years. But when you were describing it, I immediately had that... the tactile memory of what a Pez feels like on your tongue with it's got the divot on each side of it. And it's a good thing to kind of like, if you're having like an oral fixation or something, I could see why that would be more satisfying or distracting than just say a round piece of candy.
I get the sort of, I guess you could say the effectiveness of that approach or the practical reasoning behind it. And I think it's actually a smart idea. I'm just saying the actual candy, I think it tastes kind of gross.
It definitely I don't think it tastes gross, but I'm not going to argue the point. I'm not, because I can see that. And I do think it has a little bit of a soapy thing.
I'm glad that we're able to move past this
ugliness. I think it starts off with a smooth, and then it gets rougher as it dissolves in your mouth, right? Anyway, let's move on. How about this one? Lemmings will blindly join in mass suicide. Of course, when you think of lemmings, the first thing you think
not
of is
true,
them.
Huh?
I would not true.
Definitely believed that. Haven't I seen footage of that? Is this the Mandela effect? Has my mind created news footage that I think I viewed of lemmings going over a cliff?
Oh, your mind hasn't created news footage. Luke, are you sitting down?
I am. That's how I do the show.
I figured. I was saying that for effect. Norwegian lemmings do migrate in packs, but the well-known image of their mass suicide was staged for the 1958 documentary White Wilderness. Filmmakers tipped brown.
Right after they ate their lunch on an I-beam.
I was thinking the same thing. Filmmakers tipped brown lemmings from a truck over a cliff's edge, making it look as if they were following one another to their deaths.
Wait. Oh, man. Wait, so they... So then did they also... So the lemmings did die.
Yeah, I think they might have... Filmmakers tipped
they
brown...
They tricked these poor bastards. They tricked them into going over the edge for the purposes of this shoot.
They dumped
Those
them out of a
really
truck.
Those lemmings really did die.
They dumped them out of a truck, according to RD.
Well, and then they ran over a cliff?
Filmmakers tipped brown lemmings from a truck over a cliff's edge, making it look as if they were following one another to their deaths.
Got it. So they tipped them, so they probably couldn't even... They wouldn't even have the ability to stop if they wanted to going over this cliff. So they kind of forced them over this cliff.
Yes. Now, in my brain, the images of them running over the cliff, but clearly I want to look this up later. I meant to do it before the show and actually see if what that original 1958
It's probably shot
like.
So tightly that you can't see that just out of the frame. They're being basically dumped to their deaths over the edge. Well, that's I told you, intrusive animal empathy. First of all, now I'm sad for lemmings, those specific lemmings. I'm also just sad for the lemming brand. I mean, that's the defining characteristic of the lemming in my mind, is that they're just that dumb that they'll go over a cliff and die. And that is really unfair to them as a species.
Yes, it is. And it's also just so cruel to dump a bunch of animals over a cliff in a truck. Now I'm Googling this, and people are the number one nature hoax of all time, the lemming suicide.
And it was for a quote-unquote documentary?
Yes, 1958 documentary, White Wilderness. It's all fake news, man. I'm telling
Boo.
You, you cannot trust
Boo.
The media. Thank you.
No, you can't.
How about this? A factoid is a fun mini fact. Hey, I got a little factoid for you here. In fact, a factoid is the opposite.
Started by the Altoid company.
Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of a fact. Norman Mailer coined the term in 1973 to describe quote-unquote facts that were invented by gossip reporters. So oid, the suffix oid, refers to something that appears like something but is not. It's something else. So factoid really means if you were to tell me something that is not true, I would say that's a factoid. Later, maybe we would call it truthiness.
Wow. Okay. That is good for me to know. And also, it's also a burden now because I'm going to have to stifle my urge to correct people every time they say factoid.
Yeah, this
like,
is
oh,
dangerous.
Well, that's an interesting little factoid, and I'm just going to be the guy who's going, well, interestingly enough, this is a dangerous amount of information for me to have. Between the lemmings thing and factoid, I am going to be even more insufferable.
Oh, no. Nobody invite Luke to your Super Bowl party. All right. I'm going to skip ahead here. I actually think yesterday's facts were much more interesting than the fake facts. I'm going to read four more here for you. Julius Caesar was born via cesarean section, and the procedure was named after him.
What?
That is false. Did you think it was true, or had you never heard that before?
I'd never even heard that rumor. That's like, there was another one that you read. I'm forgetting it now, but there was another one that, like, I had never even heard it to be the case. And so it's like they had to tell me that this was a thing people thought.
Yes, right.
Like,
I had heard this before, but I'm less dazzled by that, and I'm less surprised to hear
that. You know that this is not a C-section story, but that...
Good.
My buddy up here in Bellingham, Misha...
Mm-hmm.
His great-grandmother, I believe, if I remember the story right, was born prematurely, and she was in an incubator. And this was a very new procedure, or a really new piece of technology. And it was, I believe, she was housed as a baby at the Missouri State Fair with other premature babies that were in incubators.
Wow.
At the state fair, you could come look at the babies in the incubators.
I swear, did this just come up in a show or something I was watching?
I probably talked about it.
Maybe you mentioned it. Yeah.
Mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Were we? God. Well, whatever. That's not good radio. But you were telling me about that, and I don't think it was on TBTL. That is amazing.
Crazy, right?
Yes.
It's like we would never do that now. Like, hey, everybody, come on down to the NICU and check out these babies cooking in an incubator until they're ready to be out in the world. Like, it's so nuts to me that that was at the World's Fair.
See the world's smallest babies. Number 15 on this list, citronella candles are the best way to keep mosquitoes out of your yard. False.
I would have... why?
Why? Why am I ruining your childhood with this stuff? The smoke from
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
The smoke from the candles is as effective as that from any other candle, and neither really helps much. If you want an all-natural mosquito repellent, try planting some catnip, and then your cat will thank you too. But citronella candles, bullshit.
Wait, why would catnip be better than
a
candle?
Apparently, as a plant, it must keep mosquitoes away.
One of the things I love about the Northwest, I complain about the weather a lot, but it's not really mosquito country.
I know.
Not that there aren't some, but it's not like full of them, which is actually kind of interesting if you think about it, because mosquitoes love stagnant water, and there's lots of rain and lots of water up here. So you'd think it would be like, I know in Alaska, there are lots of mosquitoes, and in the upper Midwest and Minnesota, places like that, you can get some real. And of course, there are areas of Washington State where, if you're camping and stuff, you'll get a lot of mosquitoes. But I like the fact that, like, every day when I go outside in the summertime here at Burbank Springs, it's not like I don't have to hose myself down with DEET. Although I do keep some of that on hand. And that's – you and I have talked about it as it relates to cleaning products. It's like when it comes to keeping mosquitoes off my body, I'm just – sorry, Rachel Carson. I'm going to go straight up Silent Spring on it. I am DDTing my body down. And maybe it's bad for me, but – I find getting harassed by mosquitoes so unpleasant that I just have to escalate it to tier 5.
It is it's a bad feeling. I got to say, I'm lucky that mosquitoes don't target me. If we're in a mosquito-y place, they target Genevieve like crazy. And I don't.
That must be pheromonal or something.
Yeah, doesn't have something to do with our breath. I thought mosquitoes are attracted to something in our breath. If it's not in Reader's Digest, I shouldn't be freelancing on that. But yeah, for whatever reason. But yeah, like coming here from Seattle, that was a huge thing. We couldn't believe it. There are these small little gnats that sort of look like mosquitoes in some areas, and sometimes you can even walk through like a kind of a cloud of them on a spring day.
Yes, Green Lake.
But
at about 7 p.m., you'll get clouds of them.
But no problem. They don't bite you. You just walk through it. Excuse me, guys. Can I get through here? Thank you. Excuse me. And then you're through, and they don't bite you. All right. I am going to read two more of these. I'm going to save my favorite one for last. So we'll start with this. False fact. Ostriches bury their heads in the sand.
Oh, really?
Not true, my friend. The birds would suffocate
all
if they did that.
Cartoons have been lying to me.
I know. If you can't trust cartoons,
yeah,
who can you trust?
That's a good point. I mean, that's a terrible survival instinct.
It's not. I mean, what they actually do isn't great. If a predator is approaching a frightened ostrich, it'll lay its head and neck flat against the ground as a camouflage ploy. Some human onlookers have assumed that the bird's light-colored heads were actually getting buried in the sand, but it's actually just laying its head down on the sand.
Well, then it's working.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's blending in, like a chameleon blending into any background.
That's exactly. If we learned one thing today, it's that chameleons can turn into a paisley pattern on a whim. All right, this last one, and maybe you'll know this. Maybe I'm building this up too much. I had no idea. The green paste served with your sushi is wasabi. It's not wasabi, dude.
Wait. What? Andrew, don't take that away from me.
Are you still
Are
sitting
you
down?
Me?
Are you still? I should have asked you that. Are you
no,
sitting down?
No, I started standing.
Shoot,
that was
sit,
a huge
sit back,
mistake.
Sit down.
Because now I'm collapsing into my
oh,
chair.
Oh, no. Don't bonk your head.
That's not wasabi?
I
what
hope you're
is
wearing
it?
Your laser helmet. Wasabi is expensive and difficult to grow. Since it's in the same family, most restaurants and food companies use horseradish with food coloring instead. Real wasabi is more complex and sweeter than what you get in a typical Japanese restaurant.
Wow. I love horseradish. So it's kind of... I guess it doesn't really matter because I've been enjoying it, whatever it is. But there are so many restaurants I've been to that are literally named wasabi.
Yeah, good
a big
point.
Part
yeah.
of the branding.
Yeah, it really is. The texture feels different to me than.
Yes,
you know.
It's definitely. Yeah, you're right. It's because horseradish, if you get it right out of like a jar of horseradish and you're using it's a little bit more watery. It's not like. It's not like a, I guess you could say a custard or something, or almost, this sounds really gross, but like the consistency of like toothpaste, which is kind of what wasabi is like when you get it at the, or what we thought of as, before we lost our innocence, what we thought of as wasabi has that different consistency, right?
Yeah. Talk about losing our innocence here. I'm watching the footage of these
That's
lemons.
Me in the corner.
It's just so sad knowing that these guys. I mean, I guess it was sad when you thought they were killing themselves, but yeah, they're just cutting together footage
of
them.
They had agency in that version of events. They
yeah,
chose,
exactly.
In a weird way, they were like, you know, they were just like, okay, this is what we do as lemmings. That's one thing. Tipping them over the side of a cliff is another thing. Also, how is that a documentary when you forced the lemmings to do this?
I don't know. But see, now this is weird because now I'm seeing shots of them. Well, there's definitely shots of them in this one where you can see them jumping, actually not just tumbling down the hill. Like you can tell which shots were them being dumped out of a truck. In this one, they're jumping into the water, but I don't think that's a suicidal thing. They seem to be of their own volition jumping into the water. But there's these other scenes where they're just like tumbling down, and they're still alive, just tumbling down this cliff. It's really upsetting knowing that some people just dumped them out of a truck.
Also, where'd they catch the lemmings?
Well, that's true. I mean, you need a lemming call, and those are not cheap. Also, probably made at Foxconn.
No.
Anyway, that's all I got for you. The wasabi
they make those
thing.
At LemmingCon.
I'm sure. What are the chances that you will ever not bring that up the next time you're at having sushi with somebody?
Honestly, my life, Andrew, my life is over. My life as
Your
I knew
life
it is now
is
over.
Just beginning. Every
okay,
time
fine.
Reader's Digest
Maybe.
Closes a door, it opens a window.
I am not going to be able to move through my day without telling people, correcting people, clarifying, pedantically explaining almost everything that you just pedantically explained
yeah,
to me.
I know. This is the type of thing, by the way, that don't you understand why parents like to like actually clip things out of magazines and mail them to their kids? Like I wish yep. I had kids right now so that I who are in college so I could cut this out of Reader's Digest, write a little letter, yep. put it in an envelope and send it to them. I'm not joking.
What if you saw a coupon for soup? Throw that in there.
My parents
I saw these
me
coupons
so
for
much
lip
soup.
For Lipton soup.
Yes. Oh man. Who was the politician? Was it Ted Cruz who we learned in like some little
yes.
like a day in the life he ate all that Chunky Man soup? Or Hungry Man soup.
Yeah, he loved, like, his house. He got a deal, apparently, on some soup. Like, someone wrote a profile of him, and he had this. I have to say, I'm not politically aligned with Ted Cruz, really, in any possible way. But I did appreciate the idea that the soup was on sale, and he was like, well, the more of this I buy, the more I'm saving. And so he had a room full of soup cans. I was like, I could see myself doing that. Mine would probably be a room full of Topo Chico, but I see you, Ted Cruz.
I would watch a movie called Ted Cruz's Soup Room, or maybe if it was a series, some sort of a reality type of situation.
Let's do this, my friend. Let us. Those are great, by the way.
Thank you.
Honestly,
yeah. I feel really like yesterday's real facts were way better than today's false facts. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't actually. Not for me. I think I thought they were both interesting, but the idea that there are these things that I've been assuming, I mean, the wasabi one, that's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
The lemmings one is also crazy. Like, so there's something about removing the truthfulness of something. Factoid, there you go. There's something about realizing something was a factoid when I thought it was a fact.
Yeah.
That's an intense experience for me, and I am really like, wow, this was one of the more interesting and useful shows we've done in a long time.
And don't forget, you got to hear me try to say the word for peppermint in German. And nobody can take that away from any of you.
No, they can't. As hard as they try, they can't.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Let's see what happens with Famous Egg by Monday. The good news about that story is it'll only continue to evolve and develop. I guess a crack. They're putting up pictures of the egg with a crack in it, so that seems to indicate it's building towards something. I saw somebody say if you were a particular kind of brand and you might spend your money on that instead of the Super Bowl, which, of course, those decisions have already been made, but it's interesting that it's on the level of a Super Bowl ad. So maybe we'll have news on that topic by Monday.
What if it opens up and there's a J.D. Power and Associates award in there?
What if it opens and there's a Chevy Traverse?
That's what it would be. Then another egg. The egg opens and it's like a VW, and then it opens again, and then it's a Chevy.
Guess what? It's actually a Chevy Traverse. This is the best family reunion ever.
God, nobody can open 50 eggs. All right.
Music for your weekend?
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you want to start things?
I will. As you know, Luke, we were talking about it a little bit ago. I'm super, super pumped for the Super Bowl. And so I was looking for good Super Bowl pump you up songs.
The big game.
I was telling you a little bit about this when you came over the other night. I'll talk more about it after we take a listen to it. But I found this wonderful. I think everybody will just agree that this is just a great sports anthem. It's by John Mouse and it's called Touchdown.
Go for the touchdown.
Go Rams! Are you pumped?
The follow-up song, The Touchdown is Poison. And then the follow-up to the follow-up, The Touchdown Will Kill You.
All right, I know that I'm kind of asking for a lot of time here. But
I'm kind of digging the song, honestly.
Me too.
Though.
Here, listen a little bit more. I'm going somewhere with this, Your Honor.
I'm in, dude. This
is not usually my kind of music at all. I was looking for a football theme for our other podcast the other day, and I like to find kind of goofy things, and I found this. The video is astounding. By the way, this is by John Mouse, who I've done kind of, I guess I would describe as a shallow dive on since discovering this. And he does a lot of this kind of really dark synth stuff, which is just not my vibe at all. But the video that goes along with this is just hilarious and weird. And maybe what you're picturing, it's just one guy dressed up in a football uniform, and it says Mouse on the back of it. And it's just like this. He's on a black background dreamscape running in slow motion while I believe that's probably the performer, John Mouse, as a football player. And also you have this guy who's definitely John Mouse dressed up like a coach who's yelling at this football player saying, don't go for the field goal, go for the touchdown. And I came across this and I thought it was
weird. Good advice.
Just
from like a football standpoint.
I thought it was hilarious at first, and then this song has been in my head all week. I legitimately, unironically, really like this song now, and actually might want to spend part of my weekend, probably not Super Bowl Sunday, digging into more of John Mouse's stuff.
He's from from Austin, Minnesota.
Yep.
And he now lives, by the way, I believe he lives at least part-time in Marfa, Texas, where I'm going to be in a few months. Maybe I can find him with him. He'll be the guy in a collared shirt holding a microphone with two hands, doubled
screaming,
over, yelling into it.
Apparently that's what he's known
for.
Well,
that was the thing. Yeah. The only time I saw my first awareness of this guy was on Instagram watching. I follow Addie's former boyfriend, and there's a thing that the young people do where they'll be at a show and they put it on their phone, they put it on Instagram, and then they will, it's like, I guess, tag the performer. And I was watching this. Andrew, I don't know how to play. I don't know how to play the audio on Instagram. Like, I don't know how to make it so when I watch a thing like this on Instagram, I can hear what's going on.
Is your volume and turned then when up? You might have to tap some of them, but the story.
But
should,
then when
should
I tap
autoplay.
It sometimes just skips to a Third Love bra commercial.
I don't know. I can't help you, man.
I'm not even shitting you. Like, there's something about the people. I'm like following like 10 people on Instagram, and many of them are women. And maybe that's algorithmically why it thinks I need to see a Third Love bra commercial. But like, what happens is sometimes when I tap the screen to try to make the volume happen, I just have skipped through whatever I'm watching.
Sure, yeah.
And so I don't really know how to do it. So for me, Instagram is a silent movie. And I was watching the silent movie of this guy doubled over screaming into the microphone at John Mouse, and I was like, WTF. And so I did a little, like you said, shallow dive, and found it to be quite fascinating, quite interesting. So I had heard about this guy, but then when I came over to your house the other night and you played it for me, I had never heard the music. I had heard about him, and I got to tell you, I'm with you, man. I dig that song, even though it's not my general vibe.
Yeah, and the thing I played for you, I can't remember the name of the other song I played for you, but that was a video that was cut up. He took images from Cool as Ice, the Vanilla Ice movie, and then just kind of remixed it on top of one of his weird-ass dark synth songs, and it really makes me want to watch the movie. It's actually, I think it's a beautiful video.
Yeah, it's just so crazy to see the outfits in Cool as Ice and really just the colors. I don't know if it's really color saturation, but the colors they use and stuff, it's super in style right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you could absolutely, and I'm sure if you go into a hip house show, tonight somewhere in America, someone will walk in with one of those stupid-ass leather coats that has an eight ball on it.
Right.
You know?
Yep, I know exactly what you mean.
Like, that's, I'm sure, extremely in style. I see people all the time with lines cut into their hair now, which I had when I was the age to like Cool as Ice, unironically, I had hair as close as I could get to basically Rob Van Winkle.
Wow.
And I had lines cut into the side of my hair.
Did you do his eyebrow thing? Because I noticed in the video that he had lines cut into his eyebrows.
Yes, I have had lines in my eyebrow.
Are you seriously?
Absolutely. Unironically, when I was probably in like late middle school, my buddy Peter and I, we shaved lines in. We got like a, you know, got one of those, what would you call it? Brawn, like hair razors, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, electric.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can kind of do your hair. We would do each other's. We would do lines. It's actually Brian Bosworth.
Wait, you were doing lines? For me. Hey, you're kids.
Yeah, dude, it was wild. Seriously, Green Lake when I was a kid, just everywhere, mountains of cocaine. So I think Brian Bosworth was the first like famous person I saw who had lines shaved into the side of his head. And I just thought it was so friggin' cool. And so we, Peter and I, would do that on each other's hair. And then we got into putting – this sounds insane because it was – we would shave an American flag into the back of each other's head.
Oh, wow. That takes some skill, I got to say.
And we weren't good at it. The first few tries were pretty lousy, but eventually we kind of figured it out. It didn't have all like the stripes and didn't have any stars, but you could make basically the outline of an American flag, shave it into the back of your friend's head. We were really into the movie Wisdom starring Emilio Estevez and Demi Moore, and he wears this like – it's kind of a Bonnie and Clyde movie, and he wears this green military-style jacket with an American flag like on the back of it, like small, like a patch. We both got green Army-style jackets and ironed on American flag patches in the same place that Emilio Estevez's character has in Wisdom. I think that started this weird American flag thing, and then – so yeah, we – and in all of this madness, there were also eyebrow lines that were shaved.
Can I – I think I misunderstood what you just said. Did you say that you would shave American flags in the back of each other's heads, but they didn't have stars or stripes? Did you say that?
Well, you couldn't do stars.
Okay, no stars, but
they would have
stripes. Okay. Okay, guys. Like,
they would have stripes.
That's just
like
a, that's a rectangle,
stripes.
Dude. Like, that's any flag. But, yeah, no, it
right,
did have
but
some stripes.
Would be,
yeah.
Right, no, but it would gotcha. Be – it would be a rectangle, and the corner, the left-hand corner where the stars would go, would be denoted
sure,
by its
okay.
own borders.
Gotcha.
And there would be stripes.
Okay.
So you would look at it, or lines, I should say. You would look at it, and you would vaguely recognize it as the basic shape of a flag, of an American flag. But the stars proved to be impossible.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. That does not surprise me at all. Wow. Yeah. We had very different childhoods. I mean, it never even – I don't even think I realized people shaved lines into their eyebrows until 2 days ago when I was watching clips from Cool as Ice. So.
I'm not saying it was – well, oh, my God. You know, it's so funny. I'm only remembering this now. We got to get this dude, Peter, on the show. He's a musician. He teaches cello. He teaches some of the students – some of the children of our listeners are students of his and give him great reviews. But, like, I remember one time – we should have him on the show to just get his memory of these events – we were the first try of shaving a line in his eyebrow. He had really thick eyebrows. And the first one was bad. It was way too wide. Like it looked like he was on his way to Midnight Oil Town. And so then he had to color it in with an eyebrow pencil for a long time until it grew back.
Oh, my God. And then when it would rain.
It took us a while to figure out what the right width of eyebrow line was to not just look like you were having a breakdown.
Please tell me your music for your weekend is something from the soundtrack to Cool as Ice, please. Is it too late to make a change?
I mean, I can change it. I will try to change it on the fly.
No, we can do that on our own time.
I'm trying to think of – I don't even think Ice Ice Baby is on the Cool as Ice soundtrack. I think it's
– that was on his first album, which – yeah, because he got
– right, and the Cool as Ice soundtrack – there is a song I believe called Cool as Ice, and then there's another kind of party anthem on there that was I thought was pretty good.
You have Cool as Ice, anyway. Gonna Catch You, You've Got to Look Up, but these are not all performed by him. People's Choice, Never Want to Be Without You, that does not sound like a party anthem. Get With It,
That was probably the one that I seem to kind of remember.
I think by the
time Cool as Ice came out, I was the movie itself, I was starting to transition out of my Vanilla Ice phase, but not so much so that Peter and I did not rent that movie from Shop and Save and watch it. You know, like,
yeah.
So we were clearly into it enough that we did our Friday night ritual, which was go up to Shop and Save, which is now the PCC on Aurora, go to Shop and Save, rent whatever movies were, like, you know, allowed and we hadn't seen yet, which was not very, like, it was a point where when the new releases, the two new releases came out on a Friday, we were like, okay, let's do this, because we had watched everything else, you know? And then we would go, we would rent a movie or two, we would get donuts that were like day-old donuts that were wrapped in cellophane, they were cheap, and a thing of like Pepsi, and then was like, our night is complete, let's do this.
I wonder what the poor people are doing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. God, must suck to just have a basic life, because here we are with these day-old donuts and Cool as Ice.
Right.
Living, and all the cocaine. Living the dream.
Doing lines, of course, yes.
I forgot about that part. Yeah, that actually was pretty wild.
Well, that's where all the money went. That's why you couldn't buy fresh donuts. I mean, you got to make choices.
Yeah. I don't totally regret the decision. I mean, I just feel like you only live, you know, YOLO. YOLO YODO. okay, so the song I want to play is by a band called Part Time. It's actually, I guess, kind of a dude from San Francisco, but I mean, he's the main creative generator, but then he gets a band together, I guess, maybe to play live or something. The song is called Honey Lips. And I guess what this guy Part Time is kind of done is he'll put out these albums and he'll sort of ape a lot of older styles of music. And in fact, it's funny because that John Mouse is kind of doing a little bit of a, I guess you could say, a Joy Division sound or certain maybe even like Depeche Mode-ish music, maybe like the darker Depeche Mode or darker Joy Division. But like, so it's weird how sometimes when you hear someone doing an older style of music but they're doing it now, it takes on – I don't know why, but like I love this song Honey Lips by Part Time. I don't know if I would love it if it was the 70s. If it was from the 70s, like, I don't know if I would seek it out if this was a peaches and herb song or something, but I love this song so much. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's actually very
do you have
intrigued.
It there? Are you able to play it?
I got it right here. Here we go.
This is Honey Lips by Part Time.
It is way weirder than I thought. Are they going to do the singing that voice again?
Yeah, it's the dude.
It's way weirder than I thought. I wouldn't say that. First of all, you and I are playing some weird shit today, man. Both, like, I have a retro sound with a weird, like a weird twist on it. This is, I don't know, parts of this song I like the kind of the, once he gets into the, just the verses, this is a weird thing to say, but I'm not a huge fan of the saxophone outside of, like,
see, that's
bebop.
What got me.
Really?
I kind of, like, it was so, what blew me away was that that song was recorded in, like, 2015 in, like, the Bay Area. And it just sounds so from another time that it kind of caught my attention. And then I went and listened to this whole album. It's called Virgo's Maze.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good. It's very weird, but But I'm into it. I'm digging it.
The good news is after it plays, YouTube is suggesting that I watch a video called Joe Rogan, Why Obese People Can't Lose Weight. That sounds like something I really want to delve into. Joe Rogan explaining why obese people can't lose weight. I'll bet you he handles the whole conversation
well. As I wrote on
Twitter
today, right before the show, I refuse to legitimize the unfair BMI standards until they adjust them to be more realistic, or I lose weight and I like the results more.
Yeah. Yep.
One of those two things.
Mm-hmm. But until
definitely
then.
One of those two things.
Yeah.
But until then, I am a conscientious objector to those. Well, that was because this morning I went and I played basketball at this high school in town. I had heard a rumor of this game, Andrew. I know we're at the end of the show here, but Stu's furnace doesn't work, so this podcast is what's keeping him warm. We got to go as long as possible.
Is this true? Did Stu lose his furnace?
He wrote something on Twitter about his furnace breaking, and I think that was a thing in the Midwest, which I guess follows because it was so cold that I guess just the amount of stress it would put on your furnace just to have your house at any normal temperature blowing up furnaces left and right, which kind of sucks. I don't want to get into Stu's life. I thought he said that on Twitter, but anyway.
Oh, man.
So this game that was at this high school, it's really sort of for the teachers who work, I think, at that high school and in the school district, and they have it's kind of a known thing. But I think you're supposed to kind of go with some, at least the first time, you're supposed to kind of go with someone who's part of the group, which makes sense. But I really wanted to play basketball this morning because I wanted to have this game happens a couple of mornings when the YMCA game is not happening. So I wanted to have this as an option. It's also really close to my house, and I just thought it might be fun. But I was psyching myself up the whole time because you talk about that dynamic that we mentioned on the show the other day of like walking into a room full of dudes, a gymnasium full of dudes. You don't know any of them. And this is like a secret operation.
Yeah.
Like there is a window of time where you are let into this high school at friggin' 5:45 in the morning. And then they close the door because the school's not open. I mean, this is all allowed to happen, but it's like it's almost like a speakeasy of basketball. And I know somebody who plays in this game, and this person said to me, yeah, you can show up. But I didn't check in with them. I didn't like ask if they were going to be there on Friday.
Oh.
I just was like, I had my story ready to go, and I get to the school. I can't find the gym. I'm driving around in circles. I finally park where I see other cars, and there's one little door that's open. And I walk up to it, and there's a guy standing there, and he goes, you're the last one. And I'm like, the last one what? The last samurai? And he just like – I walk in with him, and the door shuts behind me and locks, and I'm like, I think I'm here for the basketball. Either the basketball game or the Eyes Wide Shut.
I was about to say, tell me this. Were they all wearing masks and naked from the neck down?
Well, how do you play basketball?
I don't. That's why I'm asking about the general rules.
Yeah, it was a normal basketball
game.
Okay,
good.
Masks, no shirts.
Okay, good, because I thought maybe you were walking into something weird.
Yeah, no, it was pretty normal. Good. So I go in and I'm practicing my speech in my head of being like, John said I could be here. Like I was trying to get my story straight. And I also had a backup plan, which was they might be like, you're not allowed to be here. You're not a teacher. You don't work at the school. And then I was just going to be like, totally cool. I'll just continue on to the Y and just do my exercising there because the Y is like 8 blocks away. So I was just like, if I get to play in a game, that's a win. And if I don't, that's okay too. And I'm getting my speech ready to say to the guy, like, my friend John said I could play here. And then I come into the gym, and my friend John is standing right there.
Oh, great.
And he's like, hey, what's up, man? And it was like – I was just like in. I just like slid right in. It seemed completely normal. Nobody knew that I was showing up whether or not that dude was there. I didn't even have that dude's phone number. Like I didn't even know if he actually went to this game. I literally needed a name to drop – when I got to the game to sound like I was not just a crazy random, game crasher.
You've probably never been so happy to see a familiar wolf mask. That must have been a great feeling.
I call him Honey Lips. That's our safe word at the basketball game. All right. The listener music suggestion comes from listener Gail. And Gail says, hey, when Luke played the theme song from Patriot, which, by the way, is a Vashti Bunyan song, I've been really I don't know. I guess some mind expansion has happened to me, Andrew, where I'm enjoying music that is much more outsider than I used to. And Vashti Bunyan is one of them. But she does this song that they use for the opening credits of this show, Patriot, that I'm liking. But listener Gail says, I knew that I'd heard that song somewhere, and I figured out it's on this compilation of covers from a while ago called Dark Was the Night. And Ben Gibbard and Feist cover the song. The song is called Train Song. And I realized that, too, because I was looking for every version of that song once I heard it, and I had actually happened across this Ben Gibbard and Feist version as well. So this album is called Dark Was the Night. She said, if you haven't heard it, the other covers are pretty great, too. My suggestion, though, is a different track from the album. It's called Inspiration Information. It's from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. R.I.P. Sharon Jones. Mm-hmm. It's a cover of a Shuggie Otis song. And listener Gail says it's a great song. It brings some sunshiny feelings on an otherwise drizzly winter day. So here's the song. So that's what we're going to play. Right. This is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings doing a Shuggie Otis song. It's called Inspiration Information. This brings us to the end of our broadcast week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for making TBTL possible. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
He had a rainy day. I'm in a snake back situation. Here's a pencil pad. I'm gonna spread some.
Power out.